Last night, President Trump retweeted that video of a supporter yelling white power at Black Lives Matter protesters, adding a thank you to the great people who support me. Well, his aides say Trump didn't hear the white power part. That's a white supremacist slogan. Here's the tape. Then there are those reports that a special Russian military unit paid bounties to Taliban fighters to kill American soldiers in Afghanistan. The president says he was not briefed on that because the Pentagon didn't think it was credible, which sounds incredible. But also, where's the condemnation of President Putin? Yesterday, Vice President Pence reversed his sunny language on COVID-19 and came out with a plea for Americans to wear masks as cases skyrocket in Texas and Florida. But that drew attention to the fact that the president doesn't wear a mask. And polls show a majority of Americans agree with protesters that there is systemic racism in the U.S. that needs to be addressed, as President Trump refers to those protesters as thugs. Is this a president out of step with Americans? And if so, what must it be like in this White House? Let's bring in New York Times White House correspondent Maggie Haberman. Maggie, so you have high virus numbers, low polling numbers. You speak directly to people in the White House. What is going on there?
I think that the president is ultimately showing people that he is aware that he has enormous problems right now electorally. I'll put aside policy for the time being. He is aware that he has huge problems electorally and tells people that he knows there are some changes that need to be made. And then in the next conversation, he will be sanguine and happy and sound as if everything is fine and the sun is always shining in Trump land. So I think what's going on is you have a president whose advisors broadly question whether he wants the second term, whether he is actually trying to win right now. In terms of the COVID cases, I thought that that admission from President Pence, while it wasn't framed that way, it was just telling people to wear a mask, which should be pretty non-controversial. But given that it was the exact opposite of what he had said, or at least something he wouldn't say when he was at the briefing podium at HHS a few days ago, I thought it was pretty striking. And I think it's a real reflection of events spiraling potentially again out of control in relation to COVID, a virus that the White House had tried to signal for weeks now was on its way out. That's just clearly not the case. In terms of the story about GRU backing Afghanistan troops' attacks on U.S. troops, there were a number of people within the White House who were caught off guard by the story that does not relate to whether the president was briefed or not. Our reporting is that he was, and that it was in the presidential daily brief. The president reacted very angrily to that. But again, his reaction is about himself. He reacted about the part about what he knew, not about his reaction to this information. And I think that you are going to see much more attention focused on the substance of the story and not the specific of whether the president was aware of it or not, because whether he was or wasn't, if we're taking him at his word that he didn't know, and again, our reporting contradicts that, but if we're taking him at his word that he didn't know, well, what is he going to do about it now? And I think that's the big question.
Well, you've just said so many things, including what is he going to do about it now? People are pointing out that this is a president who has expressed fondness for autocrats like President Putin. Why, you know, isn't he saying something now about the possibility that American soldiers not just were targeted, but reporting that some might have been killed?
That's right. Because
of this Russian bounty offered to the Taliban. You also said that this is a president that the aides feel may not want to win the next term. Talk more about that, because we're also hearing when he disses the idea of voting by mail, some people are now saying that they feel that's a president seeding the way for failure. In other words, if he does lose, he can point to this and say that's why. Talk about maybe not even wanting to win.
Yeah, so two things I think can be true at once, right? My colleague Annie Carney and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, just that the president's level of self-sabotage was making a number of advisors inside and outside the White House question whether he is serious about trying to win again. The things he does on Twitter are a form of self-cutting, for lack of a better way of putting it. He has been warned repeatedly that he needs to change the way he's behaving or he is going to lose. And his response has been, well, I have to be myself. And then he grudgingly sounds as if he's understanding it. And then, you know, a few hours later, tweets something else incredibly inflammatory. He has been in trouble since March and April when he was doing those coronavirus task force briefings at the White House podium, and they just turned into a form of anger therapy for him, where he would scream at reporters and he would yell about how unfairly he was being treated. In the middle of a pandemic, I don't think that people are particularly concerned with how hurt his feelings are. But I think, look, regardless of what he says, most people around him will admit that he did not think he was going to win in 2016. And because he didn't think he was going to win, or at least in part because he didn't think he was going to win, he didn't spend a ton of time thinking about what the job would look like, which is part of why he had that kind of stricken look on his face when he was sitting with President Obama in the Oval Office during the transition. I think that 4 more years does not sound great to him. I think he's tired. I think he doesn't particularly know what he wants to do with a second term. And I think that he has, to your question about voting, what he has done is set up villains to blame if he loses. He did that in 2016, too. He called the election that he won rigged, even after the fact. So it's just sort of important to bear that in mind.
You mentioned, you know, maybe he doesn't know what to do in the second term. Here he is talking last week to Sean Hannity, a friend on Fox News, with a softball question. What are your top priority items for a second term?
Well, one of the things that will be really great, you know, the word experience is still good. I always say talent is more important than experience. I've always said that. But the word experience is a very important word. It's in a very important meaning. I never did this before. I never slept over in Washington. I was in Washington, I think, 17 times. All of a sudden, I'm president of the United States. You know the story.
As you know, Maggie Haberman, lip-syncing comic Sarah Cooper immediately made a tape of her voicing the president's words. The president seeming to try to go to the strategy from 2016, which is, you know, I have no experience, which was a good thing then, because he was positioning himself as an outsider who's going to change things. Then it sounds like, as he's saying this, he wants to pivot away, because do you think Americans want someone without experience now?
What he was saying was that he now has experience. That is true. He now has experience literally of being in the Oval Office, but what he didn't have experience with was how you react to a crisis that wasn't of your own making. And that's what we saw with the coronavirus and the economic collapse. So what I was most struck by in that clip was not whether people want someone with experience now, although certainly Joe Biden would argue that he has more extensive and more relevant experience than Donald Trump had or has. It was amazing to me just watching him be kind of unable to answer this question that, as you noted, was a softball. This was a friendly question by a friendly interviewer that if there had been 5 minutes of prep, he should have been able to answer. And he just couldn't. And it just digressed into something about John Bolton being an idiot and all this other stuff, which is fine, but has nothing to do with the second term.
I mean, if people want to hear, going to shepherd a vaccine, I'm going to get this economy back on its feet, I'm going to get people back to work. You're talking to people that surround the president. Some of us are left to just wonder how it must feel to be a president who weeks ago was the one encouraging states to open up, and Florida, Texas followed suit, and now we have the spike in very ill people in those areas. History will show this as a president who encouraged people to take risks and risk their lives. And we have some clear demonstrations of how, for instance, masks have been politicized. There is a video that's just taken off of a woman in a California Trader Joe's refusing to wear a mask. The workers are trying to escort her out. Let's listen to a little.
This is day one. This is opening day of Trader Joe's in North Hollywood. This is Karen.
Maggie, are the people around the president having to sort of end run him to do the right thing on the coronavirus pandemic?
I think that the president has become something of a non-entity, frankly, in dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. I don't even know that I would call it an end run. I think he is surrounded by people in the White House, and really just there's a very small handful of them. I think that most of them realize that work needs to be done, and they're just going to go ahead and do it without him. So in other words, I don't think that it's so much sort of sneaking around behind him. I think it is just recognizing that there is something that has to take place, and they're going to make that their focus. Mike Pence is still in charge of the coronavirus task force. The president made a dramatic show of not wanting to end the task force when we reported a few weeks ago that that was the discussion, and it was at the time. The president, I think, was not that involved in the discussion. What I think is amazing is how much of this government goes on in spite of the president, not reactive to him, not tiptoeing around him. But I think the coronavirus has become a piece of that because, look, to your point, history is going to show that this is a president who played down the impact of the virus, the severity of the virus, at every opportunity, that he tried to bend public sentiment to his will, that starting in the end of March and the beginning of April, he tried getting people to rebel against the social distancing measures by tweeting things like liberate Virginia or liberate Michigan or liberate this state or liberate that state. And it didn't work. What happened from that time, and there's been some change in the last couple of weeks, but in the weeks immediately after him doing that, the public support for the lockdowns increased. People are scared, and he has been unable to change that.
That's New York Times White House reporter Maggie Haberman with her view of what is going on in the Trump White House at this moment. Maggie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.